Okay, Lisa, if you could read the role, the preamble for the meeting for us, that'd be great.
Yes. So, welcome. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. Staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. And for members of the public, the name you entered into Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, is there anyone registered to speak at the meeting?
I think we need to do the roll call first.
Okay, I'll let you do that then.
All right. Commissioner Duane Gray.
Present.
Gray present. Commissioner Greg Reed.
Present.
Reed present. Commissioner Madeline O'Connor.
Present.
O'Connor present. Commissioner Mary Strickland.
Present.
Strickland present. Alder Isidore Knox Jr.
Present.
Knox present. And Alder Tag Evers. I do not see Alder Evers here, but Chair, a quorum is present.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. Next item is approval of the meeting minutes from our prior meeting on September 11th. Does anybody have any questions or comments, or is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move for approval.
Mary, second.
Okay, we have a first and a second to approve the minutes. So with you with the request for or the permission for unanimous consent, the meeting minutes are approved. Okay, now to public comment. Lisa, is there any public comment?
The registration reporting shows that there are no registrants, members of the public. There are no members of the public registered to comment.
Okay, any communications, Matt?
Nope, no communications.
Anyone have any disclosures or recusals? Okay, seeing none. We did put three separate items together as part of the consent agenda. Since the meeting agenda was put together, we have received comments to the PHA annual plan. So does anybody wish to separate that item out?
I'll move to separate that item out for discussion.
There a second?
Commissioner Gray, second.
Okay, thanks everyone. Can we, Lisa and Matt, can we still take up 90317 and 90318 as consent agenda items on their own?
Yep.
Okay, since we moved the CDA resolution 4683 out, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda covering two separate insurance claims?
This is Mary, so moved.
I'll second.
Okay,
Isidore.
thanks. Thanks, everyone. So the consent agenda items, Resolution 4684 and 4686 are approved. So since we did separate out CDA resolution number 4683, let's bring that up for discussion at this point in time. Lisa, can you provide some background in terms of the submission, Lisa and Matt, submission of the comments, what the process is for responding to them, and the time frame that we have to submit this information to HUD for the other commissioners?
Yes. So with the PHA annual plan process, it's a HUD requirement, and it's due to HUD every year on October for us on October 18th. Hold on one second. I want to let tag in. And so this is an annual process, and the resolution before you is to approve the CDA to actually submit the plan to HUD, which is required to be submitted to HUD by October 18th. We put out for a public comment period, a 45-day public comment period. And we received one comment at a public hearing that we held last week. And we also just today received a very lengthy email comment. And then our other task that's associated with this PHA plan process is the CDA or the Housing Authority must put in their response to the comments. And so we did put together a response, and this has all been added to the plan document, which is attached to your agenda. Would you like me to go over the comment and the response?
Well, there were separate ones. I think at Truax, there were concerns about sidewalks and handicapped accessibility for pedestrians, and also trying to create an accessible gardening space. Does anybody have any questions about or comments about that request or those that feedback? That one seemed pretty straightforward. The next one was about, I think, issues relative to the construction at the triangle and the inherent construction issues that arise when you disturb the soils and you have rodents and vermin. Is that a correct assessment of what the issue is at the triangle right now?
So there was also additional comments that we received from the Resident Advisory Board. So we also, as part of this collection of feedback, we meet with the Resident Advisory Board and go over the annual plan with that particular body. And that was one of the comments that we had received from the Resident Advisory Board.
Any updates to share with the commissioners on what is the situation at hand and what the response is going to be so that we can get control of that issue?
Yeah, maybe a summary of the concern and the response.
I'm happy to tackle that one, Lisa. So we did hear this at the from the Resident Advisory Board, some concerns, particularly around insects at the triangle. We know that they're are dealing right now, CDA staff are dealing with sort of increase in bed bugs. We understand that this is sort of a situation that might not just be isolated to CDA, but more common across the city. And we're trying to address it in a number of ways, primarily through a new RFP that would give us better oversight of a contractor to provide better pest control in general. Right now, we haven't been satisfied with the pest control we've been getting, but then also with intensive sort of support for the residents, doing a lot of resident education by bug boot camp trainings to help residents understand ways to avoid bed bugs and to hopefully prevent them from entering the building. And then also working to improve our service coordination and hopefully getting more housekeeping assistance to residents to avoid bed bugs, and hoping that all these things together will help us to really tackle this situation, take it very seriously. I see Commissioner Gray has his hand
Commissioner
up.
Gray, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you to F for kind of reviewing that information and giving more of a overview as to what the plan to look like to really tackle this issue. Because I was attending the IAD meeting and I particularly brought this issue up, I do believe that, again, I think one of the concerns is that, you know, this, it's easy to talk, you know, ask CDA management to kind of fix something. But as you indicated, Chad, this really will take some resources. Right now, as I indicated in the meeting, and I will say that now, if anyone visit my apartment, the first thing they'll notice is that I got a mouse trap outside my apartment. You go to other residences, Brittingham, Parkside, Carabas, the amount of roaches and mice and rats, including bed bugs, is having a very significant impact on people's ability to feel comfortable and safe in their houses. And so I like the fact that you guys put this in the plan and that you're looking at ways in which this problem can be addressed. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
I guess I was just wondering, like for example, at the triangle, were there any comments there? You wonder if the construction that's going on may be impacting, that situation in terms of, mice or whatever due to the construction. Did anyone have any feedback from that location about that particular issue? No.
I think at the resident advisory board meeting, right, there's the two issues, the bed bugs and then the mice. I think we felt like the mice were probably related to the construction. And I think that the thought was, yeah, that was may have even started with the Bayview redevelopment, right? Like that's just some of the work that's been going on, ongoing at the Triangle has sort of created a bigger issue for us.
This is Mary. I have a question. Are these issues just at the triangle? Or are they at our other properties? I really never remember this being brought to the commission level, although I'm not surprised. And secondly, you mentioned, Chad, that we're reviewing contracts. Are we going to get some different companies in there that can, or additional companies that could address this? This is a terrible problem for folks. Especially, Dwayne bringing it up. I mean, that's really serious.
Right now, there's been few issues at other sites, right? Like it's been primarily focused on the triangle. I think the contract is our main solution. Our goal is to have a new contract, to have a new RFP available in the next 30 days that would help us really tackle this. Like we haven't, like I mentioned, not we haven't been getting the responsiveness from our vendor. I think we also there seems to have been there's less vendors in the area, right? And when we reach out to vendors, there's been an issue in that they don't always want to service the site because there's other vendors that have been servicing the site, right? And so we're trying to tackle that issue as a whole by having a new contract in place that'll give us better control over the services we're paying for. And then, as I mentioned earlier, right, like trying to help also be proactive in our service coordination to tenants and help do things that we can avoid in terms of property management and education to get ahead of this issue.
Thanks, Chad.
Does
Anybody else have any questions or comments?
I noticed in one of the comments, they were, I think someone was responding to the policy that permits arrest records to be used as a reason for denial. Is that more or less a HUD requirement? I'm wondering if staff could comment on that person's comments on how that might impact people's ability to get in, to be admitted into the properties. Can someone comment on that for me, please?
Yeah, so we did receive that large bulk of comments like literally I think an hour or two ago, right? And so
Right.
I think our approach is, I think we're taking them very seriously, right? Like, I think those are sort of comments that we want to get from stakeholders in the community. And to some extent, there are HUD requirements regarding some arrest records, like that are strict. But then there's some that are within our control. And our strategy is to really dive deeper into some of these concerns that were brought up in those comments and take a look at our plans, our mission criteria, and then come back later in the year with some recommended additional changes. Like just because of the timing Lisa mentioned, we can't make some sweeping changes right now. Like
Right.
we are aware of this, and it's something that we're also concerned with, is trying to make sure that we're not excluding people from our programs where maybe it's not warranted. So.
It kind of reminds me. I know I worked for the state of Wisconsin for a while, and I know they had situations where you could create some policies where, based on the offense, and has the person been rehabilitated based on time and things like that, that you could come up with some criteria that would allow certain people who may have had some felony convictions or things like that in the past, but maybe that was 10, 20 years ago, or they showed that they have been rehabilitated with no other offenses. You might be able to come up with something similar, where, you can have some criteria based on, has the person been rehabilitated or not, either by time or maybe some other factors. So I think that would be something that would be good to look at.
Any other questions or comments about some of the other items that were shared with us from any other commissioners? One quick comment I will make, Chad, and Matt and Lisa, I had to deal with bed bug issues when I was the president of a co-op board in New York City, and I know that there were certain city ordinances covering that. But there was also, we are always wanting to be very mindful of remaining, keeping anyone's identity confidential so that there wouldn't be an ostracization of them. What is the plan for if there are any bed bug issues in terms of how we are addressing them and remaining and maintaining resident confidentiality?
So I think this is something we can check in with site staff on, right? Like we don't, as far as I'm aware, none of our training programs would target any specific residents. I think, I'm sure residents talk amongst themselves. But right now our approach has been sort of the same approach for everybody, right? If they need housekeeping assistance, if there's like a potential hoarding where they maybe need some again, case worker support, we try to give it to them and then provide the same sort of blanket training and advice to our residents in terms of good practices to avoid bed bug problems.
Okay. And if I haven't dealt with this issue for many years, but I believe in some cases they actually can go through walls so that, I mean, obviously if an adjacent neighbor does have an infestation, the people above, below, and to the side would probably need to get notified as well.
That's certainly been we've that's been our problem, right? Is that they definitely go through walls, and you're right that they I think that the situations create hot spots within the buildings.
And I guess the other comment is, given the amount of work that has taken place at both Bayview and now on our site as well, and with the geothermal field, we can probably anticipate that there is going to be significant disruption for both mice, rats, and other rodents. And within the development plan, is there a plan to be proactive in addressing that potential infestation over and above what we may already be seeing?
So I don't know if we have a specific Matt, I don't know if like a development like this called out specifically in our plan, but I think it's a good point, particularly when it gets to demolition time of our buildings in the next phase of development, maybe.
Yeah, I don't have any more to add to that. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we can always have a conversation offline based on my experience in New York with that lovely issue. One recommendation I'm going to make is that we do have other agenda items that we need to address yet tonight. We only got the information an hour beforehand. I do think that there are a number of items that we as a board would like to delve into, especially some of the identification issues that were raised in the notes, the arrest records, HUD policies. Perhaps this could be, we definitely need to submit the materials by October 18th to meet the HUD deadline, but perhaps this could be an agenda item for November and or December, so that we could potentially review some of these weightier topics and give the staff adequate time to delve into them and come up with recommendations for our consideration. Does that meet with other people's approval? Does that sound like a path forward for folks?
Do I need to make a motion that we do this or just agree with you? What does it take to make this happen, Chairman Reed?
Yeah, I was wondering, do we need to approve this
We do need an
tonight?
approval on this resolution for us to be able to submit the required plan to HUD, and then any other arrangements you want to make for future agenda topics is, I'm not sure how you want to handle that.
Dwayne,
but
you want to move for approval of it?
Yeah, I make a motion that we move to approve what Chairman Reed has just pointed out, to continue this dialogue at some point before this is submitted to HUD.
One clarifying point, we have to submit the materials to HUD first,
right.
And
Right.
then we have to, then we can have a discussion. So Dwayne, if you could alter your recommendation to submit the materials and then also go along with the recommendation to then revisit these topics, that would be great.
Absolutely. So I make the motion that we go ahead and submit the paperwork to HUD. In addition to having this discussion on these particular topics at a later date. Does that summarize?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Alder Evers, you have a question?
Yeah, I have to politely suggest that we get back to Robert's rules in this meeting. If you want to speak, you're supposed to raise your hand to be recognized first. Just if we get back to that, I think that would be advisable. That those are Robert rules, and this meeting follows Robert's rules. Thank you.
Okay, duly noted.
Did I not raise my hand?
You had earlier.
Let me just note that for whatever reason, I'm not having the ability to raise my hand. So I'll just maybe wave or something like that, okay? It's not giving me that ability to do that.
So I believe we have gone through the consent agenda items, all three of them that were listed there. And now moving on to discussion items. The next item is CDA Resolution 4687, approving the unwinding of the Truax Park Development Phase 1 and transferring ownership over to MRCDC.
Sure. So as you might recall, we've known this is coming for a while. So this is a Section 42 tax credit transaction. So 15 years ago, when we did this, we knew it was going to have to be the transaction kind of comes, we honestly called it an unwind, but really at this point, the tax credit investor has gotten their tax credits and they are leaving the transaction. And we pre-negotiate all of these things. So essentially we had to buy the property. In this case, I think it's for $2. And so we also then are going to transfer the property itself, but then also all the leases and our contracts and the debts and all those obligations over to MRCDC. So from a tenant perspective, it's just instead of, you know, rent going to Truax Park Development Phase 1 LLC, MRCDC would be the owner. Their leases are all still in place. Nothing day-to-day changes for them. CDA will still be the property manager, landlord, but just the ownership thing will just flow through MRCDC. Like this was all anticipated. So again, nothing really changes for the tenant. This is more accounting and legal changes than anything.
Commissioner Strickland, I see you have your hand up.
Matt, how much debt is on the property, and will the P&L look much different going forward for the next couple of years?
So the biggest things that change are it gives us the opportunity to change over insurance. It gives us an opportunity that it will come off of the tax rolls and we'll switch from paying full property taxes to we'll have to enter mm-hmm. negotiations with the city on what our payment in lieu of taxes will look like. And then there is debt on the building, and we were actually working on this today. So the debt is mostly from the CDA to the property. So we have the ability to just forgive the debt to ourselves. But there is some money from the city that we have to negotiate a loan on. And that's just a few hundred thousand dollars. It's not due for a year. So we've got plenty of time to negotiate how that debt would happen, would if it'll be forgiven, rolled over, or if we might actually take out more debt to do minor rehab or something we would need to do from the city.
How many units, Matt?
Does someone know the answer to that question?
There are 71 units at Truex Phase 1.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner O'Connor, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you. So the property is currently owned by a limited partnership, is that right?
Yep.
And so does that mean that when it becomes owned by MRCDC, MRCDC will have to make all the decisions about, you know, its insurance and maintenance and everything? So it will increase the board of MRCDC's job?
Yes, but so we are working to hand through contract have MRCDC offload that work to the CDA to do the asset management responsibilities. So it'll still be Lisa doing it. It's just how we sort of get to that, and also how MRCDC will pay CDA for the services to manage it. Our attorney Matt Robles has his hand up. He probably has more detail to add to that.
Yeah, I was just going to add, in case people are wondering why it's going to MRCDC and not the CDA directly, because of project-based vouchers, HUD has some rules that the same entity cannot be on both sides of that contract. So because the CDA is going to be administering the contract, it can't also be on the other side of it. There's some indication that HUD might change that, because it's frankly, it's kind of silly right now. Like, HUD just says in their documents, like, basically, the Public Housing Authority can just set up a new entity like MRCDC or something like that, just to, like, basically get around this. So there's some talk that they might change this requirement, but, you know, we kind of have to just go by what the rules are now. And the rules are right now that CDA cannot be on both sides of that contract. So we need a different entity to actually own the property.
And this is why you have MRCDC to hold property for strange rules related to affordable housing.
Got it. Thank you.
Commissioner Strickland, follow-up question? Mary, we can't hear you.
I thought this was part of the RAD process and HUD getting out of the asset ownership business.
So this property, at this point, we're not taking it through RAD, but that is something, once we do this unwind, it'll let us look at it. So we could take it through repositioning and it'll be set up for that purpose. But there's so many moving parts, because the way that this was done is through, it's called mixed finance, which is a complicated hybrid tax credit public housing program. So it's just a little bit different than our other things. So first step, unwind the LLC. Second step, look at that.
But one of the things that we're going through, have been going through the 5 years I've been on the board, is that this RAD process and HUD getting out of the asset ownership business and only wanting to provide vouchers to cities nationwide, correct?
Yep. That is definitely the direction we're still moving.
Okay. Thank you.
Do any other commissioners have questions or comments, or could we maybe have a motion to approve the transfer? Commissioner Gray?
Yeah, just thank you, Chairman. So, Matt, does this increase the value of CDA portfolio, or how does this impact the portfolio?
Sure, that's a great question. So right now, the LLC that owns it, it's a component of a component. So it's rather separate. Now the MRCDC will fully own the property, and it'll sit on as an asset on MRCDC's books. So you're going from the CDA owning 0.01% of it to now full ownership, but on the MRCDC side. So the accountants will have to move that around. But yes, in theory, like, yeah, you now have full ownership of the building.
Commissioner Knox, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'll move for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Connor. So CDA Resolution 4687 is approved. Moving on to Resolution 4688, which is the acquisition of Revival Ridge from the Allied Drive Redevelopment.
So very similar, just on a slightly different track, is taking your tax credit property on Allied Drive. When it hits its end of its 15-year period, tax credit investor goes away, the property and the debt and the contracts and the leases, again, will go to MRCDC for the reasons that Matt Rillis said. There are vouchers on this property, so having to go to MRCDC so that CDA can keep its vouchers on there. To the question I'm sure Mary's going to have, there is also debt on this. Again, most of it is in the form of loans from the CDA to the property. So we have the ability to just forgive the loan to ourselves. This one does have hard debt on it from Johnson Bank. So we will look at options for refinancing it through a lender. We'll also look at options to refinance it through the city of Madison, which could result in, which would likely result in a lower interest rate and no origination fees and things like that. So the current balance of debt, hard debt from the bank, is just under $600,000. And that's at a 6.6% interest rate. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that the same or lower that rate as we work through a refinancing sometime in the next year.
Any questions or comments from commissioners? Is there a motion to approve?
Commissioner Gray, make a motion. We approve resolution 4688.
O'Connor, second.
Okay. With the first and second, I believe I have forgotten to say, unless there are objections, unanimous consent to approve this motion and move on to the next agenda item. Alder Evers, I think that might have been one of your points of order. So I picked up on it. Okay, next item is the CDA board meeting schedule for 2026.
Chad, you want to take this one?
So here's the board meeting agenda. You'll see what we had proposed for the upcoming year. I think what we would like to get your feedback on is really this notion of, first of all, the dates hopefully work out for everybody. If not, we'll have opportunities to adjust. We'd also want to start to plan ahead when we would do sort of deep dive data presentations, plus cover the statement of interest, the ethics refresher, sort of the orders, a bit like the book of business type of stuff that we have to do every year, right? So our hope would be we'd sort of build this schedule out for you all and then just repeat it every year so you know sort of what to look for, and we can prepare as staff to present the information best we can for you all. Our hope then would be to do sort of like a quarterly deep dive data presentation where we could focus on either covering a bunch of stuff or just covering one specific item, like looking into maybe the HCV program or our public housing occupancy, or doing a deep dive into, you know, the eviction data, like different elements of our program to give you a deeper breadth and understanding of the program. We could still do the same general data presentation that we do like today, but with a deep dive planned into every quarter. We also thought we would try to do in-person site visit, start to plan that into August and do this again every summer, similar timeframe, and a strategic plan review and update every November. We would actually hope to start that with next month's board meeting. And so wanted to present this to you all for your feedback, and then hope to put it into practice in this year ahead.
Chad, do you need our feedback tonight, or can we check calendars and get back to you?
I don't think we have any, we have plenty of time to change this, right? And I know Commissioner Gilmore's not here as well, but I think it's just the notion right now of really planning ahead with these sort of focused, intentional presentations, depending on the month and time of year.
Okay, any feedback from any of the commissioners? Commissioner Gray?
Yeah, I just want to say, Mr. Ruffel, thanks for looking ahead and certainly giving us an idea to kind of look at the agenda. So when I look at the formats, I mean, virtual, I just, you know, to me, I have some concerns with that because I feel as though we're more focused on the business that we need to address, which is wonderful. But I also would think that, you know, we would be more open and maybe have some more versatility to do more of in-persons, just so individuals within the CDA can actually see how we operate. And so that would just be one of the suggestions that I would make relevant to this meeting schedule. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any feedback? Now, do we need to take any action on this, or is this more informational?
I don't think you have to take any action.
Nope, no action.
Okay. Well, why don't people check their calendars? Maybe we can think about and discuss at the next meeting, perhaps more in-person or site visits in the year ahead. And then move on to the housing operations report.
Ready to dive in on that. So I'm going to start with the data on the Section 8 program. Again, this presentation you're used to. I think the highlight here, which I'm pretty excited about, we have a HAP utilization rate that went up to 99% in our last reporting period of August, right? So we're using almost 100% of the money that HUD gives us, turning it around into vouchers. This is well within the range of what HUD would consider good performance. Again, we're trying to serve as many households as we can, and I think this here shows our progress in doing that. The other highlights for this month are really an increase in project-based voucher utilization. If you go back to beginning of the year, this was sort of a real point of concern. We had 64% PBV utilization, and now we're up to 79%, right? So really doing a good job of filling units that we have contracts with. And you can also see an overall increase in the number of vouchers that we're providing. We're at 1854. This is, if you guys can see my cursor on this, but if you look at total vouchers across the line, you see how it sort of took a little bit of a dip in July, and we're back up to a little bit higher number that we started the year with in January. So that's our project, our overall voucher summary here. Other highlights, guys, is the monthly report for public housing occupancy. Again, numbers pretty high in August, higher in a cumulative basis than we were in July, filling units. A number of good, I think, things to report on the public housing side. First, on our east site, we recently just completed paving that whole site. I think the site there looks much better with the paving. Also, our solar panel installation project is very much near completion. We expect to have those turned on and available, helping reduce the energy costs of all of those properties. by next month. And so we're very excited about that. We also have recently started three new modernization projects, again, updating units for residents at our properties at on Webb Street, Brita, and Capitol. And then something for you all to look forward to in the months ahead, as part of our annual plan process, we typically included a 5-year update on how we're going to spend our capital funds from HUD. And we didn't include it in this latest round with comments that you all saw. This was like our earlier discussion today. But we do plan to have that available for your review and sign off before the end of the year. So either in the December board meeting or the November board meeting. And so more opportunities there for us to continue to invest in the properties at CDA. I would also quickly note too, just for the work that we're doing at the Triangle, a big component is going to be relocating tenants over for the new sites once that building is complete. And we have issued an RFP for those sort of services in order to both inform residents and to move them as that building is completed. And we expect that RFP, it closes on the 10th, or so tomorrow, and then we will have that available for your approval soon. Any questions, comments?
Commissioner O'Connor?
I just a structural question. Are those units at Truax and Revival Ridge, are those included in this report?
They are.
Okay.
Well,
And
so
so
the
like
Truax units are the Revival Ridge are not public housing units. We have a few vouchers there, but they're not public housing. So the Truax units are included as part of this report, a portion of them, right? Like this, some of them are public housing, some of them you can see further down are project-based vouchers, so a mix of subsidies.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And well, that will continue to be the case after they're acquired.
Yep.
Okay. Full.
Commissioner Strickland?
Chad, what's the occupancy date for the first building in
Right.
Triangle?
I think November, right now we're shooting for November of, or sorry, spring of 2027. So I don't know, Matt, if we have the exact date yet, but spring of 2027 right now is what we're on target.
Okay. Thank you.
That's probably as accurate as we can be at this point.
Okay, any other questions or comments from folks? We need to take any further action, or is this for informational purposes only?
Just informational.
Okay. Well, being mindful of the time and the next step in our agenda, we do have a closed session topic. So is there a motion to go into closed session at this point in time?
Move to go and a closed session.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Gray, second.
And then Lisa, I think you have to read the script.
Yeah, if you can please read it for us, Lisa, that'd be great.
I'm so sorry, I don't have that script. Is that
Oh,
the header in the agenda?
it's in the agenda. I could read it too
I'm
if that
so
would be
sorry.
helpful.
Hey, I'm gonna
That'd be
sign
great.
off because I'm not a part of this, so I wish everyone well and have a nice day. Is that, are you ready to
No,
approve the
so
closed meeting?
Commissioner Gray, if you can stay on, the meeting is going to continue.
Oh, I thought
So
we were
please.
going into a
Right,
closed
right.
session.
So just let me say a couple of things, Matt. So Matt's gonna read, Matt Robles, our attorney, is gonna read a script to that should go before you guys enter into closed session. And then I do need to pause the video. And folks who are not related to the matter or asked to be here for that matter, so that's excluding the board here. You'll need to exit, or I'll put you in a meeting room. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Lisa.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. So, thank you, Commissioner Gray. So, I'll just be clear, all commissioners should stay on. Okay. I'm going to read this part here. When the Community Development Authority considers the following item, it may go into closed session pursuant to Section 1985, Section 1F, Wisconsin Statutes, which reads in relevant part, a closed session may be held for any of the following purposes: considering financial, medical, social, or personal histories or disciplinary data of specific persons, preliminary consideration of specific personnel problems, or the investigation of charges against specific persons, except where paragraph B applies, which, if discussed in public, would be likely to have a substantial adverse effect upon the reputation of any person referred to in such histories or data or involved in such problems or investigations. So I've read that. So I think we need to stop the recording at this point. If this is, I don't think this is being broadcast. If it is, we need to stop that. And
it
then,
is. Yeah. Let me pause the recording, and then we'll have to have some folks exit the meeting.
Okay, we are back. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Chair Reed. I was just gonna say that the next step would just be a very brief summary of what was discussed in closed session. I can do that for you if that would be helpful at all.
Sure, please do.
So the board went into closed session and discussed agenda item 9. The staff shared some information about the Village and Park parking structure mural with the board, and the board discussed that with staff. And then the closed session was ended.
So is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn. Isidore.
Second.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We will adjourn this meeting. And for those that are on the MRCDC meeting, there is a different Zoom connection. So please go into your email, locate that, and we will reconvene momentarily.
Thank you, Commissioner Reed.